Let's go down to proposals in number nine, shall we? With Tom.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the commission, Secretary Hepler. On page 9A, we'll start off with the proposals pertaining towards waterfowl hunting seasons. Just want to give a little background for maybe some of you that aren't real familiar with the process behind the management and the development of recommendations regarding waterfowl hunting. But it is a very collaborative process with our department staff, primarily Rocco Morano, our senior waterfowl biologist, who sits on our Central Flyway Tech Committee. We have a representative that sits also on the Central Flyway Council. And lots of meetings occur at varying levels on various topics throughout the year regarding waterfowl management. A lot of the topics that Kevin, Heather, and Tania were just talking about is on the radar as well. And I know Rocco's at a meeting right now at a disclosed location where it's about 85 degrees right now, he told me. He's down in Florida at a meeting talking about a lot of this stuff, talking about the two-tier system that we hope to be serving as a pilot state for upcoming years to try to provide some easier opportunities to recruit and retain hunters. So with that, on page 9A would be the youth waterfowl hunting season. Just a quick story, personal story. My son took him on his first duck hunt. We had lots of water around pier, and as Kevin described, my son had a great time, but at the end he goes, gosh, Dad, that was a lot of work. You know, a lot of work walking in. I don't know why I carried 36 decoys on my back. We did not need that many decoys, but we had a lot of fun, and he had a great morning. So, again, this is a two-day season. Historically or currently, it starts the week prior to our regular duck opener. You can see some of the requirements there. It's for residents and non-residents. They must have an adult that accompanies them to mentor them on that hunt. One recommended change we have for you to consider for next year would be currently, as I stated, that season begins the weekend prior to our regular opener. We do have some latitude now with the Fish and Wildlife Service to move that opening date up. So we have a recommendation here to start that youth duck season 2 weeks prior to our regular opener. And we think that's a positive move. You know, we might be able to get some more youth out there maybe before some of those kids get real busy with school and some other sporting activities. And we know that South Dakota, we raise a ton of blue-winged teal. And when we have opportunities for youth to get out there and experience hunting blue-winged teal, that's a pretty good deal. So we think that's something positive to bring for you for discussion. And that would be our only recommended change for you for the youth waterfowl season.
Thank you, Chad. Any questions, comments, motions?
Second.
Any discussion? Commissioner Sharp.
This is more of a curiosity question. We seem to do a lot of the, we're going to open something up when it gets close to 13 and a half days prior to this date. Why don't we just pick a date? What's the downside of just saying, let's just start at September 10th and move on? I'm just curious how that thought process got going.
Mr. Chair, no, great question. Where we have the ability to set those dates, historically we have just picked a date. You look at like Black Hills deer season, that's always traditionally been November 1 through November 30th. Doesn't matter what day November 1 falls on, that's what it is. That's tradition, and I don't know if we want to touch tradition on that one. Some of these others, so in particular for this one, this is in the Federal Register, a federal rule. So we in regards to when we can start our waterfowl seasons, they fall on a certain Saturday of September. Okay, so it can't be like September 24th, 5th, or 6th. So we have to kind of follow those guidelines. If that helps clear anything up there, Commissioner Sharp.
I was just curious. It seems odd. I mean, if we said we're going to have our Game Fish and Parks meeting the Wednesday, 14 days prior to the last Saturday in September, it'd be.
That's pretty easy to understand.
Yeah. You know, but since it's the feds and they're here to help, now I understand. So thank you.
The other questions, comments? All right, all in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes. On to duck.
Page 9B would be our duck hunting season. You'll note there on the map we currently have, I think it's four duck hunting zones that we manage the seasons and availability for those seasons to be open. I believe here in a couple years we'll have another opportunity with the federal framework to have some discussion on, are these zones, are they delineated the right way on our state? Can we draw the lines, different things like that? So don't write that in stone, but I believe that's on a cycle where in the next 2 years we can do that. But we will make sure you are aware of that well before that time gets here, and we can do the appropriate public involvement process in regards to asking our public what they think of these zones. So you'll see the season dates in those areas that are open up on top. We do have a duck limit that is comprised of what you see there. We do have a recommended change at the bottom based on the federal guidelines that came out. We do need to make a recommend, or we do have to decrease the scalp limit from three in the daily bag to one. You'll note up there on top, not to jump around, but we do, and I'm not for sure how many years we've done this, maybe close to five or six, but we do have a bonus blue wing teal daily bag limit there, which is pretty nice for our hunters here in South Dakota. We have so many teal we raise here, and we do have an opportunity there for 16 days at the start of those seasons to allow those hunters to harvest an additional two teal there. The recommended change number two there is another latitude we have within the service this year. So this kind of comes back to Commissioner Sharp. You see that there. So currently our season starts the fourth Saturday? On the last Saturday, of September. We now have the latitude to start it on the Saturday closest to September 24th. Okay. Does that make a big deal or not? Well, if you turn the page, I put a table there. On the left would be the dates that are currently in rule. On the right in the green columns would be the dates that would follow if you would decide to propose and implement a change there. Essentially what it would do, four out of the next 10 years, there would be a change a little earlier to what our hunters could start hunting for the low end, or the north and middle zone, low plains hunting season. So biologically doesn't mean anything. It does mean maybe over the next four out of the 10 years, our hunters could maybe get a little faster start on those local breeding ducks that are here, and why not allow our hunters to have that opportunity when weather conditions are more favorable and we likely have more ducks here on the landscape. So with that, Mr. Chair, those would be the two recommendations we have for you to consider.
Second. Any discussion? So no discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes.
Mr. Chair, on page 9C, we start some action sheets in regards to our goose hunting seasons. I'll be honest, we did discuss some changes that we did not bring forward for you for consideration. Over the next year, we'll be, it's hard to believe it, but it'll be time to start evaluating and revising our current resident Canada goose management plans. So we felt it was probably more appropriate to have those discussions maybe with our stakeholder group again and other public involvement in regards to some of the things that we had discussed internally. And I'm sure there's other things that our hunters and other members of the public will bring forward. So we don't have a lot for you on goose hunting season. So the first action sheet you see here is for the August management take, which is an additional, I guess you could call it a season, even though the service does not call it a season. It's kind of a management take opportunity here for states to implement where they have an overabundance of Canada geese. Historically, we did utilize this management tool in much of the counties within eastern South Dakota. What we found out was, for the most part, it was not producing any additive harvest to that goose population. It was more so shifting harvest from September and October. We had varying opinions from our public on that. Thus, we have really shrunk the area where we provide an August management take, and you can see it's really focused there in Pennington County, west of the Cheyenne River, and it is predominantly to address public safety around the Rapid City Airport. Commissioner Beasley, you talked about the Rapid Creek area. I think there's some hunting that occurs during this time period. So with that, that's the history on this. Very focused in that small part of the state. And with that, we have no recommended changes here. You don't need a motion here. 9C on the early fall, if I can, Mr. Chair, is our early fall Canada goose hunting season. It's a season that begins on the first Saturday of September and concludes on September 30th. You can see a daily bag limit of 8 there. That season is open within Unit 1, which is delineated in blue there on your map. It has been a very successful management opportunity for us in managing our resident goose population. Historically, we've seen some pretty high harvests from our hunters during that time period. That has dropped off a little bit, as you can see with the number of residents and our hunters that are participating within that program. You can see some of the requirements and restrictions. That number two up there, just want to point this out. This was one of the topics we did discuss. We did not bring it forward at this time, but I think that restriction on non-residents hunting within that fall season within those counties in Unit 1 is something we'd like to have some further discussion when we go forward in revising the management plan. But with that, we have no recommended changes for the early fall season. So we have an August management take, we have an early fall season, and on page 9C would be the regular goose hunting season. You'll note the three various units in there right now. For Canada geese, we have a light goose season with the dates there you can see under the season dates, and in a white fronted goose season, you can see the appropriate daily limits listed there. With that, again, we have no recommended changes for this season as well. So, any questions? On page 9C would be our special Canada goose hunting season. This is open only within Bennett County. There are 800 three-tag licenses available for this season. Historically, there was a lot of desire, I think, for this season. I don't know over time if things have kind of waned away just because of the ample opportunity to pretty much hunt Canada geese, in anywhere within the state. Something that we did talk about, but again, we'll probably revisit during the revision of the goose management plan and see what our public thinks about retaining this and whatnot. But we have no recommended changes for the special Canada goose season.
Questions, comments? We can move on.
Okay, on page 90 would be our tundra swan hunting season. Pretty unique opportunity. I've never done it myself here personally within the state, but I know it is kind of a unique hunting niche out there for some people. You can see the open area there and the season dates up above. Based on some of the population modeling work going on with tundra swans right now, they are seeing a projected slight decline, and thus you see the recommended changes down there for you to consider. So as we have this written in rule, we have two changes we need to make there. One would be to reduce the total number of licenses from 1675 to 1300, and then we have to make an adjustment to the number of licenses that would be made available to non-residents from 250 to 200. One thing to note, if you see the table there under the supportive information, even by reducing those number of tags available, based on the number of first choice applicants, you'll see that we'll still easily be able to meet at least the current demand of those that have an interest in hunting tundra swans. So,
motions.
Second.
Any discussion? Not all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Carries.
Mr. Chair, on pages 9E is our Sandhill Crane. We have no recommended change for you there. If you remember, I believe it was last year, we made an adjustment to the eastern portion of that area that was open. We kind of expanded that a little further east to provide some additional, at least a geographical area for our hunters. We have no recommended changes for Crane, for Snipe, which is on page N or 9F, and no pages or no changes to the Spring Light Goose Conservation Order, which is found on page 9G. You remember last year we made a change on the conclusion of that season from May 1 to May 15th. I have not been able to look at some of the harvest information in great detail, but there were two more weeks that were made available for hunters for that season last spring. So with that,
right.
That's all
questions,
we have for waterfall.
Comments? Nope. So we can go then to 10, huh? Rules review.
Good afternoon, Andy Albin, Law Enforcement Administrator for the Department, here today to talk to you about the administrative rules review. What you see in those 7 to 9 pages in front of you there is our third installment of the administrative rules review, very similar to past proposals we've had in front of you, to where what we're looking to do is amend these administrative rules, or in some cases repeal some of the rules, to reduce redundancy, increase transparency, and improve consistency. And again, this comes on the heels of some discussion that took place during the 2019 legislative session, to where we're following up with those requests and would finish the rest of the rules in the first part of 2020 as well, if things go as planned. So the first section you'll see is 4106, which are our hunting seasons and methods. And the primary thing that we're looking to do with the plethora of rules, which I believe total somewhere near 170 within that article 4106 there, a lot of it is dealing with the authority that the commission has to promulgate these individual rules, and we're going in and updating, amending those sections in law to where it stipulates exactly where the commission gets their authority. So a lot of times these individual rules, we're not even touching some of the language within the rule itself, but at the tail end, the authority or the law implemented, if you look it up in the administrative rules manual. The other changes are just getting, I guess, in sync with some of the form and style that LRC requires us in drafting of rules, as well as there are some where we eliminate some unnecessary language, reduce the number of words that we can make it less confusing, more clarity, try to be consistent between different rules, and in some situations, as I mentioned before, totally repealing some of the rules. In some of our seasons, we have hunting seasons, we may have one rule where it says when the season is open and give the dates, and another rule that might describe where it is. And in many cases, some of these seasons are open statewide, so we've gone in and eliminated some of the rules where it says they're open statewide, and just put the statewide description in the first rule there. So these markups that we have that Staff Attorney John Kotelnik and I have been working on for these two articles that I present for you today come upwards of 240 pages of strike-throughs and underlines. So you'll be getting that, should we go forward with this, for review, hopefully electronically, as to not waste a lot of paper here. But I did want to maybe highlight a couple of these. Obviously, you don't want me to go through each of these 170 rules in Article 4106 today, but a couple might come out. For example, on the first page there, if you look at 4106.0306, that rule that pertains to the transportation of a big game animal, you may recall somewhere around a year ago we made changes to where big game animals can be tagged in addition to around the leg. They can be tagged similar around the hock tendon, like on an elk or other ones now, as well as around the horns or antlers. When we made that change, we forgot about one rule, that rule in particular here, where it still makes reference to tagging around the leg. So we're just striking the leg and saying the tagged portion of the animal there. Another example that I'll bring forward to you is going to be all the way on that second to last page in chapter 4106.54, which is our pheasant season for disabled veterans. What we need to do in the first two rules that are listed there are go in and add a section that creates eligibility for Purple Heart recipients. This is follow-up to House Bill 1201 that was introduced during the 2019 session, to where Purple Heart recipients are also eligible for this special pheasant hunting season, wherein an application is submitted to the department and we authorize a hunt during the fall season there. So those are just a couple of the examples there. Again, those are the ones where there are more wholesale changes other than just the clarity, form and style, and authority being amended. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I would ask for your approval of the department recommendation in 4106.
Do we have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes.
The next page in Article 4107 there, Mr. Chairman, you'll see somewhere around 50 rules operating under the same premise, where we're looking primarily at authority, clarity, form and style changes. I did want to bring to your attention on the very first one there, 4107.0101, definition of terms, wherein we're looking to promulgate or create two additional definitions in our code there, the first of which is the definition of what exactly a set line is. We have permits where we issue for set lines, and we never have really formally defined what a set line is, so we have some language we're working on there at the request of our aquatic staff. In addition to creating a definition of all things a walleye, and the rationale for creating a definition of a walleye, which would essentially be a walleye, a sauger, or their hybrids, eliminating every time we talk about walleyes and fishing limits and things, eliminating the need to say walleyes, saugers, or their hybrids in each of these existing or individual rules, so we would just be able to state walleye and those other rules and not have to list the additional words there and reduce the number of pages that we're putting into our administrative code there. The other one is in that same chapter, 4107.01, number 16 there, the ice fishing shelter removal deadlines. About every, it seems, third or fourth year, we get to towards the end of winter and the early start of spring, and the ice starts coming off in many situations. Towards the end of the season, we get that deadline where ice shacks have to be removed. And some of it the deadline at the end of season there comes and we don't have any issues. Other years we've got the dead of winter still, and we have lots of good ice, and folks are required to get their shacks off every day. They can still use them as long as they take them off the ice at the end of the day. So what we'd like to do is just add a provision in there wherein the secretary would have the authority to extend that date in order to provide some more opportunity and flexibility within the rule itself. Like I said, it's usually every third or fourth year, at least in my tenure with the agency, it seems to come up, and it really hamstrings us with how do we effectively deal with this when we say, well, it's in the rule. This would give everyone the ability to go out there and leave their shacks a little bit longer should the elements and the situation dictate that necessity there. And only one other rule on the back page there that I wanted to mention, that is in reference to our spearing season, 4107-0607, the restricted areas where underwater spearfishing is prohibited. We've had some situations and requests over the years where spearing around boat ramps has come up, and right now around a boat ramp, it is allowed, and we've received requests to prohibit that activity within 100 yards of a boat ramp, like it is within intake structures and boat docks, but the word boat ramp has not been in there, so we would add boat ramps to that section as well there. So again, the majority of these rules correct those inconsistencies and potentially remove some of those unnecessary barriers as we talk to the R3 efforts there. So some of this aligns right with that endeavor as well. So I would ask for your approval of these changes in 4107, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Do we have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? If not, all in favor say aye. Any opposed? Passes. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And we would bring those forward again in March for finalization.
Okay. So we're to number 11, I think. West River Spring Turkey Rifles. Tom.
Good afternoon again, Commissioners. Tom Kirschman, Wildlife Division Deputy Director. So number 11, action sheet in your booklet revolves around the spring turkey and the use of rifles proposal that is in front of you that you as a commission adopted as a proposal at your last commission meeting. I think before we go into any further discussion and dialogue, I just want to make one point clear to everybody again on this, as I too answered a couple of phone calls over the last week to 10 days about the question on this in terms of when is the finalization on this particular proposal in front of us right here today. And the finalization is not this month, and it is in January. When the initial discussion occurred with the proposal at the November meeting, I think we were all thinking in somewhat of the context of how we've operated over the past of a proposal is generated and finalization occurs at the next following commission meeting through the public hearing process and the public notice process. Again, last month, coinciding at the same time of these discussions, you as the commission reviewed, assessed, and approved a new direction moving forward with the whole season setting schedule. And we talked about this a little bit earlier today too, of having finalizations every other month instead of every month potentially, fewer times that you folks would have to take action at commission meetings on seasons or regulations. It also has some opportunities and some positive there too, as we're looking at right now. It gives that additional time for discussion and dialogue on certain topics that, quite honestly, probably deserve some additional discussion. So it wasn't that it was all of a sudden changed midstream. It was an artifact of the discussion and decision that you as a commission made of any proposals that were brought forward and approved as a proposal at the November meeting would be finalized in January. So Again, I just want to make that clear on the record, because I too talked to a few individuals, asked the question, why isn't it this month? Why is it in January? And I just want everybody to understand why those steps occurred and why we are where we are today in terms of finalization. So thank you, Mr. Chair, for just giving me a moment to talk about that. So you do have the proposal in front of you for the spring turkey hunting season. I want to thank the individuals that came today and provided some passionate testimony on both sides of this issue, which we fully anticipate and expect, and would expect to hear some more testimony over the next month up to the finalization in January. When Commissioner Phillips brought this forward last month, there was obviously discussion between you as the commissioners and our agency, individuals from the public requesting this type of change, and ultimately Commissioner felt that it was appropriate to bring forward a recommendation to the rest of the commission body for the consideration of a proposal, which you all generated here, that's under your consideration right now. At the time of that discussion, when it was brought forward, as an agency, we did not take a formal position on it, whether we were formally approving it or supporting it or objecting it or opposing it, and took more of a neutral stance on it at that point in time as the recommendation came forward and you adopted it as proposal. Over the last couple of weeks of conversation and dialogue with individuals from the public, some notes and memos and emails that have come into the department, I know some of you have had some spirited discussions with some individuals from the public as well. We continue to have dialogue and discussion as an agency also on this particular one. And over the last couple of weeks in particular, as we've gone over this and learning more about it and hearing some input from the public, while we don't have a recommended change on the proposal in front of you right now on the action sheet itself, we are in the position right now of, at the time of finalization, coming forward at January to bring forward a recommendation that we would retain the current structure of the restriction that's in place right now. In other words, oppose the current proposal. Now again, we are a month out from finalization, and I fully anticipate and expect we're going to hear more comments and dialogue with many people. But I want to be up clear in front with you as the commission body where we stand right now. And Mr. Chairman, I'll turn it back over to you for any other further discussion amongst the commissioners on this particular proposal. Again, there is no final action to be taken today, but that certainly doesn't preclude you as the commission body, should you see appropriate or necessary to make adjustments to your proposal, that if you do that, then we will work with you to get that properly posted in the public notice. If not, the public notice will reflect your current proposal that you have in front of you right now. So, Mr. Chairman, I'll turn it back over to you.
Thank you. Commissioner Phillips.
Thank you, Chairman Jensen. Commissioner Phillips here. Thank you for those comments, Tom. As you said, there's been a change in our meeting schedules, and finalization will take place in January. But I do feel that I will make my comments now at this meeting and possibly again in January. Just some of the reasons that I brought it forward and why I feel it should pass. You know, first of all, this proposal is already a compromise. You know, we could have asked for more land to be opened west of the river, chose not to. After consultation with between myself and the department, and we decided to just bring it just private land west of the river. And I think that's a good compromise. I think that's where we'll leave it, unless somebody has another idea that we should expand it maybe. I think just private land west of the river is a good place for this. You know, it's certainly not a biological issue. It's a landowner issue. It's a landowner's rights issue. If a landowner wants to give someone permission to hunt turkeys on his property with a rifle, I think he has every right to do that. I certainly don't believe it's a safety issue either. You know, I've got the data here going back to 1979, that's 40 years. There has not been one issue involving the use of a rifle in hunting turkeys on the West River Prairie in 40 years. Not one issue on the prairies of western South Dakota involving turkey hunting with a rifle. So I think the safety issue can kind of be put to rest. I read all the comments and listened to the comments today, and they were good comments, good spirited discussion. Several of them mentioned hunting in the Black Hills and how dangerous it is there. Well, let's leave the Black Hills out of the equation. They're not included in this proposal. We left the Black Hills out. Several of the comments talked about people shooting from the roads, doing other things that are already illegal. Well, shooting from the road is illegal now. It will remain illegal with this proposal. It's not an issue because we're not proposing to make it legal to shoot from the road. Most of the comments have to do with people's preferences and opinions. Everybody has a preference in how hunting should be done. You know, everybody likes to do things just a little bit differently. That doesn't mean it's wrong. It's just a little different. Because the guy next to you wants to hunt in a little different, with a little different method, doesn't make what he's doing wrong. You know, the people sitting up here have been granted the authority to make these decisions, and we're going to listen to everybody's comments, but we're going to decide this issue next month. I'm sure they'll make the right decision, and I look forward to the discussion later today and next month. I think we'll make the right decision going forward, and I encourage everybody to support this, because I do not think it's a safety issue on the western South Dakota prairies, especially on public land. I think it gives more opportunity to people that want to hunt with rifles. I don't think it infringes on anybody's right to go out there with a shotgun. They can hunt that way if they want to. The people that want to hunt with rifles can hunt as they wish to. So I'd encourage everyone's support. And with that, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Commissioner Phillips. Any more discussion, comments? Okay, we will vote next month. Okay, thank you. So, are you done then with that?
Yes.
We're off to catfish, huh?
Yes, sir, unless you had anything else on that.
All right, thank you, Tom.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, and Secretary Hepler. John Lott here, Aquatic Resources Chief with the Department. I'd ask you to please turn to page number 12 in your Commission book. Last month at your November meeting, or in association with the petition process, the Commission proposed a new restriction on the harvest of flathead catfish, whereby, as a part of the daily limit, an angler would be restricted to harvest at most one fish 28 inches or longer in length. And this afternoon, the department has a recommended change to that proposal, whereby the scope of that proposal, initially it was statewide, would be changed to inland waters only. Currently on the South Dakota-Minnesota border waters, which includes Big Stone Lake, Lake Traverse, Lake Hendricks, and some sections of river, there's a one over 24 in place for both a flathead and a channel catfish combined. There's a one over 30 on the South Dakota-Minnesota border waters. That regulation is in place for both states. The South Dakota-Nebraska border waters, there's a one over 30 in place on the Nebraska side for flatheads, but there is not a size restriction on the South Dakota side. And for the South Dakota and Iowa border waters, there is no size restriction in place for either state. The reason we're bringing forth this recommended change to the proposal is to allow us to visit with the state of Nebraska this winter during our annual border water meeting. We've actually got the state of Iowa involved with that as well, whereby after the standard meeting, we will be discussing specifically catfish regulations. With that, Mr. Chair, I'd be happy to answer any questions and would entertain or would request the commission's consideration of this recommended change.
Questions, comments? So we've had some discussions about this the last day or so, and the fellow who brought the petition, Ted Ellenbecker, is very interested in this, and the first thing I should say, he's very appreciative of the department and the commission by taking a look at this and providing some protection to catfish. I think maybe he's been working for that for a while, and so he very much appreciates that. And he would, I think, prefer that we not amend it, that we keep it the way it is. He and I had a long discussion yesterday about that. And so to be clear, what will happen here if we adopt the change is in a month we'll vote on the proposal as changed. It will apply to only inland waters, not Minnesota, not Iowa and Nebraska, because as I understand it, in February then, the department's going to meet with your counterparts from Nebraska and Iowa and specifically address this issue. And then you will be armed, so to speak, with what we did otherwise, assuming that we pass it in January. And then it will come back, the subject will come back to us, and either we will adopt, I mean, presumably, we will either adopt something that is consistent with what Nebraska and Iowa want. So there'll be something in place, there'll be protection, or if for some reason we can't reach an agreement, then it will come back, we will consider it, and we may put our own protection in place, just like exists apparently now with Nebraska having a 30 and South Dakota having zero, right? So this proposal should not be seen as sort of abandoning boundary waters. I mean, it's kind of a diplomatic thing. We're going to try to work with two other states and see if we can come to some agreement. Hopefully we can. If we can't, we'll come back and do what we think is right. That's fair, isn't it?
Exactly, Mr. Chair. In fact, what this does is it allows us that opportunity to, in good faith, to visit with and discuss the issue of catfish harvest regulations with our neighboring states. If we're able to reach an agreement on a common regulation, that would be ideal. But we always, as a state, would have that option to pursue a regulation that may be different than neighboring states. In 2020, next July, on the commission schedule, the fish harvest regulation considerations for 2021 will be brought forth for consideration by the commission. And I would expect that we'll have a recommendation at that time related to a catfish on the border waters for you.
So, and we don't meet in February. The commission doesn't meet in February. You're going to have your meeting in February. So we could agree now, to put this subject back on the March agenda, and then you could report how the meeting goes, and then we'll keep it front and center.
Yes, certainly, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. It's interesting because I know they've been working hard, and I know he's told you that he has 266 signatures on a petition and to approve this, and is confident he can get some more. And I know they all are very appreciative that the department and the commission are seriously looking at the subject of catfish and giving them some protection. So that's a good thing. Any questions, comments? So we need a motion to approve the proposed change, right?
That is correct. And then the finalization as with the turkey proposal would be in January.
Right. So moved. Any discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Good. So is that what you need, or now do we need another motion we don't need another motion to move forward with the amended because we just amended it, right?
We don't have an attorney over there to tell us, but my bet is...
I think we're good.
We don't need anything
All right.
else. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, John. So we're at 13, Resolution Supporting Recovering America's Wildlife Act.